couple of songs, and following Terry, we'll ask Mr. Bert Hansley to come up. So, Terry, get ready.
The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke of your honor. I have no defense, but that's when mercy was. was God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Well, I stood there and wondered, how could this be? That someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I felt born again. That moment, that mercy walked in. See, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand. Was God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sins. Forgiven when mercy. The blood was presented that covered my sins. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Bruce asked of this, and I'm trying to get Bruce to hit me. He won't talk to me. We'll get it sooner or later.
Some words.
Huh?
Some words.
I can handle that job. Huh? I'll wake him up.
Just common flesh and bone. But through someday that all I say, I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on. Yeah.
Heard some great songs already, amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to have a testimony time, and I'm going to ask Austin if he will come up here, Austin Ashley. In case you've seen somebody that looks like him, you have his brother right over here, amen. He's going to share a testimony with us, and his brother's going to share one later on. So I believe in the power of testimony, amen.
Amen.
I believe at any given time in a service, there's people who are struggling with the things that other people have already overcome. And I just believe that testimony is an important thing in the life of a church. Because I can stand up here and I can preach the same sort of thing over and over and over. But when somebody hears from someone their age or in close proximity to their age the same thing, it can make a lot of difference in their lives. So you ready to go, man? All right, I'm going to turn it over to Austin. Give him a hand this morning.
My name is Austin Ashley. My walk before knowing the Lord was terrible. See, knowing about Jesus and walking with Jesus are two different things.
That's right.
Knowing Jesus is, you know, where he came from. You know, he died on a cross and everything. But walking with Jesus, it's a whole nother ball game. See, when you walk with Jesus, you do godly things. And Proverbs 16:9 says, A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps.
Yes, that's right.
I'd rather walk with God in dark than go along in light, as I know light will be my guide. The darkness will be ever so bright, and those who walk with God will always reach their destination no matter what the challenge is. The first time I got saved, it was more a push thing because my mom and dad said, go talk to the preacher and get a Bible and say you're saved. But the second time, it was more my time to get saved. I felt like I was living in darkness. But now God has a plan for us. Me and Dylan, we were just about to go to bed that night. We got saved at revival. Went home, went to bed, couldn't sleep. I said, let's get up, read our Bible. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
So I said, let's read our Bible. Every Bible verse said something about youth ministry. I think if me and Dylan have ever helped Coach's daughter move out, I think we would still be living in darkness. Thank you, Coach, for all the things you have done for our lives. You have made a big impact. Y'all didn't know Mr. Bruce is like the second father to me. Absolute great man. He's done tremendous things in my lives. Thank y'all for listening to me.
Amen.
Okay, wow. Okay, got my eyes sweating early this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to turn it back over to Becky. But, you know, I just want to piggyback off that for just one second because I believe that there's many people, not just here, but in churches all around where the same thing has happened. You felt a movement from other people to come down the aisle to maybe think you were actually professing Jesus as your Savior. But guys, the bottom line is this. When the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you, this is what happens. You can't sleep at night. You got to get up. You got to do something about it. That's how you know it's real. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts you like that, you know it's for real. And I just believe there are a lot of people that are still living in darkness. That's why I think the Lord laid it on my heart for many months to preach along those lines. He's kind of moving me along in a different direction now. But I believe that there's still people that need to find that light. And that's my prayer. I'm hoping and praying that everyone will find that light before it's too late. What an awesome testimony. I appreciate that. You know, this is how the Lord works. And just to piggyback what he said, Austin was in my class last year, and I asked him one week, Katie had to move from her apartment, move all her stuff out, and we had to put it in a warehouse. But I was like, well, okay, I don't know. You know, everybody had something to do, so I just happened to, the Lord just laid on my heart to ask Austin and them if they wanted to help. And they did, and well, push come to shove, and make a long story short, they work on the farm with me there. And that's just how God works. I mean, I think we were brought together for that purpose. They found salvation where? At a most unusual place, out in the hot sun, listening to a grumpy old man sometimes, amen? But God can do a lot of great things if you'll just let him. And I believe God wants to use some of you as a vessel. But I just believe some of you won't let go and just let God have complete control of you. I bet you there's that somebody that God's laid on your heart to go and reach out to, and you may not have done that. And they're still living in darkness as a result of that. So I believe that's an awesome testimony. And I'm glad to be a little part of it. But I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit's what did this. Amen. It wasn't anything I did. I was just a vessel through which he worked. And that's what we are. And that's who we are. And that's what it's all about. Amen. So, having said that, we'll turn this back over to Becky, and we'll hear some more good singing. Amen.
Well, we've been blessed with some young girls in our church who can sing, and this morning Ansley's going to bring us a song. She's working on playing one, too, and hopefully the next time we come around, she'll be able to play it and sing it. Come on up, Ansley.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now we're blessed to have my niece back today, Rachel Moncrief. She helped us out at Revival some, and now she's going to bring...
I recognize
we've got Hannah. So anyway, she's going to bring us a song, and then she's going to interact with everybody, and we're going to do another song.
Might take me a second, I'm sorry.
Do you want to help me out explaining what we're doing here a little bit, please?
Becky's going to help, too.
Okay.
I'm going to get y'all to help me pass some of these out right quick. Guys, we're going to do a little interactive scene right now, okay? Well, I spoke with Rachel about this the other day, and, my circuitry got crossed here. I copied off the wrong song, but, hey, thank the Lord she had the right words to it, to the right song that we're going to sing. So we're going to pass this out, and... we may have to kind of share a little bit about like 50 copies. The song is called Our God is Greater. And you've heard it before. It's by Chris Tomlin. She's going to kind of play along, and Becky's going to kind of help get everything going. But I'm going to kind of see if our youth will kind of come up here and form a youth choir. I'm swinging that. So look, let me give y'all some. I guess y'all better have a copy, right? Yes, I know this is going to take a second. Yes, amen. Well, that's what they make English for. I can go to church and get go to church and go get an English. Don't worry about picking up white folks. You'll be amen. All right.
Yeah,
your first time doing this, you have a bar behind you.
We'll see how this goes.
You guys, we're in the learning segment. Hey, what I want us to do is get a little exercise. Let's get everybody stand up, amen?
Y'all ready?
We are ready.
I hope so. All right.
Singing it to God, amen. Is our God really greater?
Yes.
Do you believe He's really greater?
Yes.
Then let's sing that to Him. We'll just sing that chorus. Let's just don't even play any music. Let's just start that chorus and let's just sing it to Him.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome and powerful.
Guys, this has been great so far, and I really believe in lifting our voices up to the Lord. Amen. That looked good up there, those young people all up in that choir. Amen. We need some of them to come join us every Sunday. Amen. Amen. Well, we got the second part of this story coming up here now. Austin's brother Dylan is going to come and share his testimony, so let's make him welcome this morning. Amen.
Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm going to start my testimony off by talking about my life before knowing Christ. My life was horrible. The only time when we went to church was when there was either a special preacher or food was there. I really didn't like that idea. I had to do it because I had to follow my mom and dad. We had a revival at that church that evening, and the preacher was preaching, and when it was altar call, my mom forced me to go down there and talk to the preacher. I didn't want to. I didn't know what to say and how to say it. Then my mom spoke up and said, "I want my son to be saved." I didn't know the meaning of that. Then they gave me a Bible. I totally didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know where to start. And then when I was 15, we met Coach. Coach is amazing to be around. He's like a, like he said, a second dad to me. And when he was preaching about living in light and darkness, it hit me right there. I know I haven't been living in light. I have been living in darkness my whole life. I wasn't doing godly things. I wasn't happy. So I texted the coach and told him it's time to get saved. Amen. Jesus spoke to me that night, and I know he said it's time.
Yes.
That day I got saved. I had like a big relief off of my back. I could put all things. I could put all things in his hands.
Yeah.
And I thank him every day for what he did for me.
Yes.
I hope this testimony touched someone in here. But I'm gonna close this testimony off with this verse. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. Thank
Amen.
God.
Yes.
Okay, we appreciate everyone participating this morning. Now let's turn our hymnals for our offertory hymn, page 252. We'll stand as we sing the first, second, and last verse, 252.
So much for the blessings you've given us here in this church. Just thank you for this wonderful testimony. Just thank you for this wonderful youth group that we have here.
Yes.
And just continue to bless and just help each and every one of us grow through them and help each and every one of them grow. We just want to give back a portion of these tithes to you now and to help further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now we'll take just a few minutes to greet each other in God's love, and I'll also release the children for children's service.
Amen. And if you got prayer requests, put them in the containers, please.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. We've already had, really and truly, we've already had a service this morning, amen? We'll save the worst for last, amen, okay? So I'm sorry, but it doesn't get any better than what we've already heard, okay? Amen. Guys, I want to say something. I want to see what you think about this comment right here. Bigger is not better if it comes at the expense of disowning the truth or grieving the Holy Spirit. Bigger is not better if it comes at the expense of disowning the truth or grieving the Holy Spirit. I shared with you last week, I'm reading a book entitled Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And it's a great book, and it's really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And one of those things is that comment right there. Because I think a lot of times we get caught up in churches and we base how our service was on how many people showed up. And you know, I used to be that way too. And when people say, how'd your service go today? Oh, it was good. We had about 100 in worship. When in reality, that's not what it's about at all. You know, I'd rather have a service with 20 people here that's full of the Holy Spirit and they're getting touched and they're getting blessed than have 100 people here who 50 of them are sitting there sleeping and drooling everywhere. Amen. So, you know, it's not all about numbers. It's about reaching people with the message of Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
It's about reaching people with the message of Christ. So I'm not going to get hung up on numbers anymore, because God is going to bless and God is going to bring into our fellowship when He begins to touch and move in people's lives. And that I certainly want us to continue to invite people to church. Don't get me wrong. In fact, I want to challenge you to reach out to somebody next week and get them here with you. Okay? But I'm not going to get caught up in that to the point where I feel like I'm failing if we don't have this number of people here at Sunday school, or I feel like we're failing if we don't have this number of people at the worship service, because it's not about numbers. Guys, in the early church, right after Pentecost, there were literally thousands of people who were coming to know the Lord. 3,000 in one day. They weren't meeting in some big mega church building. Buildings weren't even around then. They were meeting in homes. There's even references to the fact that sometimes they met in caves, wherever they could meet. People were getting reached with the message. It wasn't about the numbers. It was about who was being proclaimed, and that is Jesus. Amen. And that's what it's all about. I want to talk to you today about beware of false prophets. And this is going to tie in what I'm talking about today, because I believe that's what we've turned church into today. We've turned church into a false prophecy. There are a lot of churches that are simply being led by false prophets. I don't know any other way to put it except to tell it to you that way. Let's look at the book of 1 John chapter 4.
Amen.
We're kind of winding down our study in the book of 1 John. We're going to focus on concerning false or lying spirits or false prophets here today. I'm going to ask those of you who can stand to your feet. We're going to read six verses from 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read the first six verses, beginning with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that a great verse? Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Talking about Satan. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. We just ask now, Lord, that you would bless us during the remainder of this service. God, that you would open our eyes and ears and hearts to your word. God, that you would use the songs we've heard today. Lord, they touched me in so many ways. Lord, that we'd use the testimonies we've heard today, Lord, to make a difference in someone's life. And it'll be for your glory and yours alone. And we just give you the praise and honor ahead of time, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll see, Many false prophets have come and gone, and many are still here. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone here. I'm just here to say this. Be very careful of the doctrine in which you are listening to, because if it preaches anything other than the shed blood of Jesus, you're listening to the wrong thing. Amen. If it waters down the gospel to the point where they're taking out the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, and some religions not even acknowledging that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was God in the flesh. We got to be careful, because these people are here. Even in John's day here, if you look at it, it says right here in verse 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist." Now, we're not talking about the Antichrist that is going to show up during the tribulation. We're talking about anyone who is against Christ, who does not believe in Christ. Those are Antichrists. Now, some of you say, "Well, preacher, I listen to so-and-so on Channel 57, on TBN or whatever." I listen to them too, and I've been very disturbed by what I hear some of them preaching. Amen. I've been very disturbed by some of the messages that some of them are preaching, because I believe they're preaching a false doctrine. I believe that countless numbers of their congregation are going to die and go to hell one day because of the theology that they're teaching and preaching. They're not preaching the truth. They're preaching a form of the truth. They're preaching a watered-down version of the truth, and it is all about numbers with them. See, that's what it is about false prophets. False prophets are all about the glamour and the paint and the building and the number of people who are there. They're not concerned about preaching the hard truth, the hard gospel of Christ. Why? Because that runs people away sometimes. Well, guys, I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, with these two testimonies we heard today, it didn't run them away, it ran them toward. Amen? Because see, when you hear the truth, the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you. When you hear a lie, you're going to wander on off in darkness where so many people are today. You see, we live in a dark world. We live in a world controlled by Satan. It's not about bigger. It's not about better. It's about getting and keeping a relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And if you're here to do anything else, you're here for the wrong reason. Because I'm certainly not an entertainer, although people laugh at me sometimes. Amen. It's not intentional, I hope. I hope I'm not that goofy. But I'm not really an entertainer. I'm not some big mega preacher. I'm not a big televangelist here. But what I am is somebody convicted of the Holy Spirit, saved by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. That's what I am. Amen? And you know what? That's what I hope you are too. Because if you're anything less than that, then you're perhaps in darkness. That's what we've been talking about for these several weeks here. You know, we've gotten to the point where in churches today, and I'm talking about primarily churches where I believe false prophecy is being portrayed, we've gotten to the point where we operate on such a script that people don't give the Holy Spirit of God time to move. You know, back in the day, and I like to use that term, kids ask me all the time, "When was the day?" You ever thought about that? When was the day? Well, back in the day. Well, when did that start? I don't know. Just back in the day, amen. But you know, way back yonder, how about that? That might sound better. Back yonder, you know, when you had revivals and when you had the Holy Spirit of God working in a church, you didn't worry about what time it was. You worried about letting the Holy Spirit of God move and people get convicted and people get saved, amen. You didn't worry about, "Oh, it's 12 o'clock, boom, we're going to shut it down right now. Oh, you folks fixing to get out the aisle and come down here, hold on, you have to wait till next Sunday because we're out of time," amen. I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to be any part of that kind of church. I don't want to be any part of that kind of church. I want to be a part of a church where the Holy Spirit of God is free to move and free to convict His people at any time He wants to, amen. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. But you see, some churches have gotten to the point where sermons have to be uniformly positive. Oh, don't talk about things that get people upset. Don't talk about the real truth because that hurts people's feelings sometimes. Sermons have to be uniformly positive. Services can't go longer than 60 minutes. Even the church is inconvenient for some. You know, even 60 Minutes is pushing it for some people. But I'm here to tell you what, guys, that wasn't what church was supposed to be. That isn't what church is supposed to be. That is not what happened at Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit of God came in on those people and filled them with the Spirit, they didn't care how long they met, amen? They would meet for hours on end, days on end. 3,000 people in one day got saved. We hadn't had 3,000 people in Greene County get saved in the last 30 years, amen? You know why? Because we quenched the Holy Spirit of God. We're not telling people of the importance and coming to know Jesus as your Savior and developing a positive relationship and a loving relationship with Him. Instead, a lot of preachers, here's what they're concerned about. They're going to preach something, then they're going to get out. They're not challenging their members. They're not challenging their members to look at themselves and say, hey, am I who I really say I am? But I'm going to tell you what this preacher is, amen? I'm going to challenge you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I who I think I really am? Because if you're not, I want to help you get where you need to be. That's what my goal as a pastor is. How many of you trust me as leader of this church, of this flock? Then you've got to believe when the Holy Spirit of God convicts me, He's moving us in the right direction, amen? Don't go home, because nobody said this. Don't get me wrong. Nobody's come up and said this to me, but I know how people think. Well, that preacher's getting a little carried away now. We got a choir moved up here, and we did things different. We got a prayer jug up here now, and we're not having a prayer request, taking time to do that and reading the announcements. You know why? Because I want to have time for the Holy Spirit of God to move.
Amen.
Amen? I want to have time for the Holy Spirit. You know what? Too many church services break the moving of the Holy Spirit. Through all this materialistic stuff. We can go over all that at the end of the service. Let's let God's Holy Spirit come in and move in the service. Amen.
Amen.
Let's let Him have time to do something and to move in somebody's life. See, when you break things up, God's just given me these things in my mind here of late. And I just feel like I need to share them with you. You know, it's really sad that some people who go to these churches where a lot of this false prophecy is being done, these are the same people that want the 60-minute worship services are the very same people that'll go and spend 3-4 hours at a ball game and not think anything about it, or go home and rent a 2 or 3 hour movie, watch it to the end, have the best time in the world. Why can't we come to God's house and have a good time? Amen.
Amen.
Why can't we come here and serve the risen Savior for an hour and a half, and not get all bent out of shape about it? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Some of us need to look at our hearts, because our treasure's in the wrong treasure chest. We treasure the world. We treasure the things of the world. We'll get excited about things in the world, but when we come into God's house, it's like, oh, we're in church. We got to be a different person now. We got to change who we are now. Oh, we can't say anything. We can't clap. We can't get loud. We can't say amen. Where in the name of creation is that in God's word? Do you realize we're going to be praising Jesus when we get to heaven? Do you realize when He comes, it'll be announced by a trumpet blast? Do you realize the book of Psalms says to praise God with the stringed instruments and the horns and the cymbals? It doesn't say come in and sit down and be quiet. It says come in and praise the risen Savior, amen?
Amen.
And that's what it's going to take. You know what's going to straighten this country out? People getting back to serving and loving Jesus, amen? And the only way we're going to do that is when His people feel comfortable serving Him. It's like we've gotten to this state where, we're just programmed that church is this thing and this is what we're going to do. And this, you know what? Those of you that were here for that last night of the youth revival, we stay here 2 hours. We didn't even stop till 9 o'clock. And you know what? I didn't even look at my watch. Some people, I'm sure, were. But you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit of God moving. And when the Holy Spirit's moving, you just keep moving with Him.
Right.
If you need to get up and leave, go ahead and leave. That's okay. Because we don't want the Holy Spirit to be quenched anyway. Amen. If you feel the need, you have to go and things like that. I understand. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm not going to make fun of you. Of course, you might be the only person walking out that door. You know, I'm just saying. But hey, it's okay. It's okay. What I want you guys to learn to understand is this. We serve a God who sent Himself in a flesh and bone body by the name of Jesus to die for a bunch of worthless sinners, and we ought to be happy when we come into His house. Amen. We ought to be thankful for what He did for us. How many of you are thankful for what Jesus did for you? Amen.
Amen.
Then give Him a hand clap of praise. Amen. I mean, Jesus paid it all. We weren't worth that. I know I'm not. I'm not worth what Jesus did for me. But you know what? I'm going to try to do all I can for Him. Amen. I'm going to try to do all I can for Him. You know, I think the issue is not length of services, while we're back on that for a minute, but I think the issue is appetite. Are you hungry for what God's doing? Are you wanting to quench your appetite with what God's doing in His house? Are you excited about, you know what? And a lot of our youth know this because I share it with, I'm so excited when the week starts. You know why? Because we're getting closer to getting back in God's house again.
Amen.
I don't want to get away from it. Guys, we need to get in here because we live in a rough world. Amen. Amen. We live in a rough world. Amen.
I want to testify that when there's joy in my heart and the Holy Spirit is with me, I don't want to ever go away.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that testimony, sister. Amen. Amen. And guys, I hope that's what it's all about. I hope it's about the Holy Spirit of God living in you, not you going through the motions. You know, there's going to come a day, and I believe it because God's laid it on my heart, that this church at Bethesda is going to be a model church for people to ask the question, what are y'all doing? Why? Why are things so different at that church? And you know the only difference is going to be? People doing what God's called us to do. Amen? Any church could be a great model church if they'll just do what the Holy Spirit of God's leading them to do. What are our children and grandchildren going to experience if we keep doing church and changing church like these false prophecies are leading churches into? What are our children and grandchildren going to experience? You know, extended times of waiting on the Lord and letting the Holy Spirit move, that's going to be a thing of the past. Our kids are already getting programmed to know that we're only supposed to be at church a certain amount of time. That we're only supposed to be at church a certain day. Guys, I'm telling you what, if we're going to model ourselves like the early church at Pentecost, then there are no daily or weekly schedules for church. You can have church anytime. You want to call up and invite some friends over to your house, have a Bible study? That's what these people were doing. Yeah, they came together as a group, but they also, I can see them now, hey, let's go meet over here at Peter's house. I got something I want to share with y'all. Everybody went over there together and shared. That's what I envision a real church to be. Not just necessarily us getting here together once or twice or three times a week, but you getting together with each other other days of the week and just inviting people over and saying, hey, let's have a little Bible study. Let's form a Bible study. Because I'm going to tell you what, we need more people in this book, amen? We need more people reading this book right here because this book is your roadmap for life. This book is your direction book. This is your disciplinary code right here. And if we'll read it and we'll live by it, then we will live a life that will glorify Christ. Amen? But if we choose to go away from this book and we choose to do it our way, we're going to live a life that's displeasing to Him. You see, I think we've got a lot of people that are kind of sitting on the fence right now. And I believe a lot of you are saved. You're just not on fire like you need to be. You know, there's two or three different kinds of people at any given time in any given service. You got those that are born again believers, but who just haven't quite let the Holy Spirit just jump all over them yet. Then you've got born again believers who are on fire. They want to testify. They want to sing. They want to do anything they can for God's house. And then you got the lost who think they're saved. Those are the three types of people that are in God's house any given Sunday. Now, only you can ask yourself the question, which of the three am I? I can't answer that for you. You're just going to have to let the Holy Spirit of God answer that for you. But I can tell you this, as far as what John was talking about here, about these false prophets that came up. Now, this was happening way back thousands of years ago. But it's really prevalent in today's society, in today's church. We got people who will not preach the hard truths of God's Word. You know why? because it will cost them money. It will cost them membership. It will cost them not looking good in the public's eye. I've already told you, God's opened my eyes. It's not about numbers anymore. It's about reaching the lost. It's about discipling the flock. It's about helping you grow into the beautiful creature that God wants you to be. It's not about any of that stuff. When we get caught up in the bricks and mortar and in the goings on within the infrastructure of the church, we miss out on the whole purpose of the church. But too many people are doing that, right? If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Too many people are getting caught up in playing church. They've turned church into a bureaucracy. They've turned it into a political arena. They've pushed Jesus outside and they're ruling with an iron scepter on the inside. Guys, I'm going to tell you what, if Jesus Christ is not ruling this church, then we're serving the wrong ruler, amen? Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The last verse says this, the last two verses. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The NIV version of that says this, they are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And guess what? The world listens to them. The world is listening to these false prophets. If you don't believe that, turn on some of these church services on Sunday and see how many tens of thousands of people are hearing a watered-down form of the gospel, and so many of them are lost and in darkness. That's exactly what's going on. In verse 6 says this, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The NIV version says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You see, when people won't listen to you about God, when you're talking to them about God, then you can reasonably assume that they don't know God. Because a godly person is going to want to talk to you about godly things, right? I love talking to people about what God is doing in my life and what He's doing in their lives. That ought to be the conversation that born-again believers are having. It ought not be, hey, did you hear about so-and-so and the trouble they got into? See, that's the kind of conversation we get involved in. We're not being light when we do that. We're living in darkness. We're showing other people, oh, I can be just as dark as you, honey. You just watch and see. I'll talk about them with the best of them, amen? I've been guilty of this. We all have, right? But guys, I'm going to tell you what. If we want to really get to be the church that God wants us to be, first of all, I need you to trust what God is revealing to me. And I promise you this, you will hear nothing but the truth from this pulpit, amen? I'm only going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to back it up with God's Word. I'm not going to take His word and make it sound good to you. Why? Because Jesus didn't mean for it to be that way. He meant for it to convict your heart and to change you and to move you in a different direction. He didn't mean for it to make you feel great every Sunday. Guys, if you walk out of here feeling all warm and bubbly every Sunday, I've not done what God has called me to do. Amen? I've not done what God's called me to do. He didn't call me to make this into a good feeling, warm, bubbly place. Although, hey, I hope you are happy when you leave from here. I hope you feel a little bit better in your heart when you leave from here. But ultimately, I'm here to help challenge you through the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to do that, guys. I'm done. I'm out of oxygen. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. We're going to have to put some accessory oxygen tanks up here. Because, you know, these collars right here, I feel like a turkey at Thanksgiving, amen, fixing to get his neck wrung. But, guys, you know, I just want what's best for each person here. That's all I want. I'm not asking you to be something that God does not want you to be. I'm not asking you to be a prophet, although some may be blessed with that gift. I'm not asking you to be a teacher, although some may be blessed with that gift. But what I am asking you to do is use what God has given you to His glory. And when we all do that, guess what? He gets glorified and we get blessed. You want to know why you don't get blessed more? Because you're not giving God the glory. You're not giving Him the credit. You're not giving Him the praise. You're thinking, oh, look what I did. Look at my accomplishments. Your accomplishments are rubbish in His eyes. Do you understand that? Nothing that I have ever done that seems like an accomplishment to me means a hill of beans to God. But now when I give Him the praise, when I say, you know what, it's because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I have the ability to do what it is He's blessed me with, then He gets the glory, amen? And I get the blessing. Some of us need to change the way that we address people. We need to change the way that we view our successes. But most of all, guys, we need to beware of what's being preached and what's being taught. And we need to certainly understand that if we're doing anything other than what God's Word is saying for us to do, then we're doing the wrong thing. Life is not a bed of roses, amen? There are going to be thorns everywhere you turn. But we serve a Savior who has promised to stand by us and never leave us nor forsake us. These false prophets don't tell you about all those thorns. They tell you about all the great things that you ought to be and do and everything that's going on great in your life. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if our lives were that great, everybody would be running to Christianity, amen? If everything was that good, everybody would be filling up churches wanting some of it. It's hard. You know why? Because it was tough on Jesus. He said it was going to be tough on us. But guess what? When it's all said and done, we're going to get a reward like none other. Amen? If you see it to the end. Question is, have you got what it takes to see it to the end? Or are you going to try to handle things yourself? Are you going to mess things up along the way for yourself? Because I'm going to tell you what. If you will truly let the Holy Spirit of God fill you, each and every week, start off your week saying, I'm yours, Lord. Do with me as you see fit. Use me as you see fit. And I'm going to give you the glory. You watch out and see what God will do with you. However, if you're like this, Lord, help me to get through this week. It's going to be a bad week. I can tell already because I got this, this, and this I got to do. I got a test this week. I got a deadline at my job. You're already praying negatively. You're not praying for God to do anything great in your life. Change the way you pray. Pray for God to do something great through you, and guess what? He will. And along the way, He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's promised us that. But guys, I want to close today by saying this. I believe that somebody was touched today. I've been feeling it all week. I've been feeling that there are more people, before all is said and done, more people are going to be like these two young men who realize, you know what? I was pushed into this thing. I was pushed up front. I didn't really mean that. I didn't really want to get saved. I didn't even know what salvation was. But I believe there are people that are in the same boat that they were in. That's why I wanted them to testify. Because I can preach about it till I'm blue in the face, and I'm about to get there, amen? I can preach about it till I'm blue in the face, but when you hear someone who experienced that very same thing, it can have an impact on your life. I want to encourage you to just let go and let God work in your lives. And I said it before. I would love to have to open up this baptismal pool and baptize about 15 or 20 people the first Sunday in September. You know why? Because that means 15 or 20 people realize, hey, I'm ready to step out of darkness and step into the light for the first time in my life. I want to encourage you. I want you to pray for people. I want you to come down here to this altar. And I want to ask you to do something different today. I want you to come down here with a prayer partner, some of you, and put your arm around them and pray with them and pray for them. And we're going to stay down here until we get all these prayers done. If you need to leave, go ahead. Amen. If you need to leave, go ahead. I understand. I don't know God will, but I understand where you're coming from. You don't want to stay around for that. It's too long. We done gone over time. But I believe God needs to answer some prayers today. I believe that some people need to come up here and pray for each other. And if there's anybody in particular who needs their life lifted up in prayer and we need to lay hands on them, then you come and tell me that and we'll do it. Because you know what I've realized? I got all eternity to spend with Jesus. I only have a limited amount of time to help lead somebody to Him. Amen? I only have a limited amount of time to help them get their life straightened out. I got all eternity to rejoice with Jesus, but I only have a limited amount of time to work here on this earth. So we're going to come up. I'm going to pray in just a minute. We're going to come up and we're going to have our hymn of invitation. And we're going to stay up here until the Holy Spirit of God is done. Amen? That may be 5 minutes, that may be 15 minutes, that may be 30 minutes. But when the Holy Spirit of God is done working and people are done pouring out their hearts and praying for one another, when the last person has gotten up from this altar and went back to their seat, then we will end this hymn of invitation. Amen. But as long as people are coming, as long as people are feeling convicted, we're going to extend and we're going to allow them to come and pour out their hearts to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, you're so awesome. You're unbelievable, really, because when I think about how bad we are and how good you are, I just can't figure out how you even wanted to think about doing what you did. But God, I'm so glad you did, because it enabled a sinner like me to find eternal life and salvation in Jesus. And I believe there's many others out there who need to find him. And I pray they will before it's too late. I pray that if there's one out here today that, Lord, you've been working on their heart about rededicating their life to you. They're born again believer. They've just wandered off the path. And they need to get back in a right relationship with you. And I pray, God, you may touch their hearts and bring them down here today to pray. And Lord, if there's those of us who have that wayward child or that friend who's lost or that co-worker who's lost and we just can't seem to get through to them, I just pray they'll come down to this altar and kneel down and pray and lift them up, Lord. Because I know you can do everything. I know with us sometimes things are impossible, but with you all things are possible, Lord. And I just pray this humbly and earnestly in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. What are we singing? Singing hymn number 230. Let's stand and sing hymn number 230.